So this is part two of last week. So we're going to try to cover two commandments. We've been going through the Ten Commandments. This is commandment number eight. Commandment number nine is thou shalt not bear false witness. We're going to cover both of them today. And I hope to have you out right at 12 o'clock. So this is part two. And I have some humor here just to start us out on not stealing. So here's just some of the humorous I thought on a sign. Quit stealing our letters. Bruce, this is for the coffee bar. Coffee refills are not allowed. If you want a refill, please make sure we are not looking. Thank you. So that's just a policy that we have here. If we see and catch you, you're in trouble. I like this. I feel bad for this dog and cat. How mean to put those delicious hamburgers there. Dear Lord, we thank you for this food we are about to eat. Please don't let us get caught. Amen. So, who could blame them? This pastor, I don't know about this poor pastor. Welcome to whoever stole my air conditioners. You're going to need them. So, sign God. So last week we talked about stealing pencils, stealing place in the line, stealing, I was going to say laundry from the Hilton, stealing someone's parking spot before they get into it, stealing books, ripping off the government. So what was the penalty? Do you remember what the penalty was if, and remember I gave the illustration, if someone stole my clock and let's say they got rid of it, they sold it off to someone else and they get caught, what do they have to do? How many clocks do they have to pay me back? Five clocks. If someone steals something from you and they get rid of it and I think we should go back to this. You'd have to pay me for five clocks. I really like this because I was thinking, what if you steal my car and you chop it up and you get caught? How many cars do you owe me? Five cars. I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving the keys in my car. Like, hey, take it away, you know. So, and of course, if you couldn't pay it, then you get sold off and you had to work until you would pay for my five cars. I think it would help because stealing's growing and growing in the world and in the United States. I think it's kind of as we get away from God, everyone's stealing. So, we talked about if you find a lost wallet, you should return it. If you find things that are lost, they don't belong to you. It's not finders, keepers, losers, weepers. We talked about dishonest weights. Here's where we're at, Proverbs 28, 24. So if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs 28, 24. So we're talking about stealing. He who robs his father or mother and says it's not wrong, he is partner to him who destroys. Satan is the one who destroys. So when you steal from mom and dad, you become partners with Satan on doing that. So I was reading, there's all kinds of articles that baby boomers are stealing from their parents at record numbers. This is just one article. Grown-up children are stealing millions from elderly parents after they become frustrated at waiting for their inheritance. Accounting firm KPMG found that over 65-year-olds were by far the most likely to be preyed on by their own family. So here's what's going on. I'm a baby boomer. The generation of my parents, they're called the builder generation because they did a lot of work. They built after World War II the infrastructure. Most companies, they were very successful. They saved their money. The builder generation is the first generation to live as long as they are living into their 80s and 90s. And they have money because they didn't spend, they saved. And the baby boomers, that's my generation, half of my generation's already retired and half are getting closer to retirement. We are very frustrated that our parents are in their 80s and 90s and are still alive. We wanted to enjoy some of that inheritance, all that money they've been saving up. And we wanted to enjoy it before we even retired. And now we're getting old and retiring and we're, and you know, so can you blame us for just helping ourselves to a little inheritance ahead of time. Is there anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with that? Titus chapter 2. Come to Titus chapter 2. And stop stealing from mom and dad. Titus chapter 2. In the New Testament. Now, this is going to talk about slaves not stealing from their masters. But the principle would apply for employees. I know some of you may feel like you're slaves, but it's a principle would apply. Employees should not be stealing from their employers. So Titus chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, hey, look, I want you to teach. When you're in the pulpit, teach employees to be subject to their employers in everything, to try to please them, try to please your boss, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. I don't know what percent of employees are stealing from employers. I looked on the internet. I found as high as some believe that 75% of employees are stealing from their bosses. In fact, I told you last week that 1 out of 11 people shoplifts in the United States, but that actually doesn't compare to the amount of stuff that's being stolen from employees themselves. I believe that we as Christians, that any employer should be happy to hire a Christian because you're going to respect them. You're not going to knife them in their back. You're going to give them an honest day's work for your pay. You're going to tell the truth, and you're not going to rip them off. I would think that even if the boss isn't a Christian, I hope that he would say, good. Here's someone who's not going to lie to me, not steal from me, be honest and trustworthy. And it says, if you do this, you make the teaching about Jesus Christ attractive to your boss and to other employees. Now, often, employees are stealing from their employers. But it can go the other way, too, where employers are stealing from their employees. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 addresses the opposite scenario where employers are really taking advantage of employees. So James chapter 5, verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, you need to cry. You need to weep and wail because of the misery that's coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. They don't actually corrode. This is talking about spiritual corrosion. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You can read the rest. But in other words, there are employers who rip off their employees. They don't pay them what they deserve. They do creative ways not to pay them. And they're amassing a massive amounts of wealth, gold and silver and dollar bills and all that, not realizing that that money is all going to testify against them when they stand before God, and that money's going to go, actually, I belong to this person who wasn't paid. Actually, this money should have, we belong to over here, and in the last days, there'll be people who will get incredibly wealthy with tons of money, and I feel bad for them. Probably at the cost of the hundreds and thousands of faithful workers that are, in a sense, being taken advantage of. You've become successful, but you didn't take everyone else with you. So I have a friend that he works in a big corporation. Well, he did work in a big corporation in Pittsburgh. It hires thousands of people. You would know it. And his company came to him years and years ago, came to the employees and said, hey, we don't have any money to give you people a raise, but we're going to do something different. We're going to do what's called profit sharing. Have you ever heard that? We're going to do profit sharing. So if you work hard, we're all going to share in the profit of the company. And so he says they've worked year after year after year. The president, the vice president, the CFO, and all those, he says that they're making millions and they always get these huge raises. And by creative financing and depreciation and this and that, there never is any profit of the company. And so the workers never get any raise. But everyone else at the top is making tremendous amounts of money, as well as the stock owners probably. Identity theft. So I've got two recent stories on, in a sense, identity theft. My dad gets a call last month from Ronnie, my son. Now, in the second service, I didn't make this clear. This was not my son calling my dad. This was some fake individual. So Ronnie calls up my dad crying, oh, Grandpa, I was riding with a bunch of other kids. We got pulled over by the police. They had drugs in the car. I'm in jail. And I need $4,000 to get bailed out of jail. You need to wire this money. Please don't tell Mom and Dad. I'm so embarrassed. I don't want Mom. That's us. I don't want them to know. Can you help us out, Grandpa? And my dad's, oh, yeah. Okay, he gets the money ready to go. He's talking to my stepmother, and my stepmother says, maybe you should call Joe. And my dad actually was like, no, I made a promise. I listened to Joe's sermons. My dad listens to my sermons every week. And he was preaching about you shouldn't lie, make false promises, don't use the Lord's name in vain. He had heard that sermon. And he was like, oh, I promised Ronnie I wouldn't tell his parents, but oh. So my dad calls me up, Joe, I'm going to tell you this, but I promised Ronnie I wouldn't tell you this, but you know, Ronnie's in jail. And he needs $4,000. I'm going to send it to him. And I like, Dad, you're being ripped off. Ronnie's not in jail. That's not Ronnie talking to you. For 3 hours, my dad's talking to someone that says he's Ronnie and the bondsman. And so I had to actually get Ronnie, you need to talk to your grandfather. He thinks you're in jail and they're communicating. We have a three-way line. So last week, I get a call from PNC Bank, and Faith, our daughter, is in Cambodia as a missionary. And so I get a call from PNC Bank and says, and I'm on Faith's account so that I can cover things back here in the U.S. for her. But Faith has her debit card, and she can get money in Cambodia. They have ATM machines over there. But PNC calls us up, says, hey, we're from the fraud division. We kind of know your daughter's in Cambodia, but someone with a debit card, with her debit card and her PIN number, just emptied out her account down in Florida. And there's zero left. They took it all out. They went to like two or three different ATM machines and took hundreds of dollars. So was that Faith or not? I'm like, no. Faith is in Cambodia. So surprisingly, PNC gave all the, they didn't catch, I don't think they caught who it was, but all that money did come back into her account. Every year, identity theft is going that about, it's almost up to 10% of everyone every year in the United States is going to have their identity stolen. If it hasn't happened to you yet, don't worry, it will. How many have already had someone get your credit card or, yeah, raise your hand here. Yeah, so we're probably at a third already. Here's what's scary about stealing. And Tucker, I think about you. Just so you know. If you wanted to rob Tucker, first of all, you have to know he lives on top of a mountain. Okay, so he's going to see you coming a mile away. All right. His driveway is a mile. How long is your driveway? 6/10 of a mile. It's just his driveway. Okay. So, but he's on top of the mountain. He sees you coming. You don't have a chance. I'm just warning you. Don't even try. In the old days, if you were going to rob someone, you had to go to their home, go into their home and rob them. But you would never do that in Pennsylvania because you're going to get shot, all right? So, but now, with computers, do you realize anyone in the whole world can steal from you now? They literally don't have to come to your home anymore. They literally can steal all your money out of your investments, say whatever, with or your credit cards, without ever being at your house, without even knowing you. In fact, there literally are tens of thousands of professional thieves who their whole life is committed to stealing your money. There may be governments that are actually hiring professional thieves and helping them to steal your money. So it's like, wow, we are in a different world, and it's only going to get more complex as we move forward. Well, let's move on. Ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. So there you are if you lie. Do you guys realize that we probably all lie every day? Does everyone know that? Is anyone in denial? Okay. There's a competition over in England for the biggest liar. Who is the biggest liar? Annual competition held in Cumbria, England. Competitors from around the world have 5 minutes to tell the biggest and most convincing lie they can. Politicians and lawyers are not allowed to enter the competition because they are judged to be too skilled at telling lies. They are professional liars, so they cannot be there. And I was looking, they rate how many lies politicians tell. And I won't tell you, they've rated President Trump and Hillary Clinton. The president that told the most lies was President Nixon at 800 lies a day, supposedly. That's hard to believe. You would think every sentence must have been. Psalm 116:11. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. And that's reinforced by the Apostle Paul in Romans 3, that all of us are liars. We all lie. Hopefully, as we're growing in the Lord, we really ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to be more and more honest. Psalm 58:3, even from birth the wicked go astray, from the womb they are wayward and speak lies. It turns out that kids, at a very early age, you do not have to teach your children to lie. They actually will learn, they will lie at very, very young ages, and you never have to teach them, because it's in the sinful nature. In fact, I was just looking at all these psychology sites that they're not Christian, but they realize that it's like inbred into us to lie. In fact, if you have kids, you're going to have to teach them to tell the truth. You don't have to teach them to lie. You will have to, and you don't want to label them liars. You don't want to say to your two-year-olds, you're just a liar, lie, because all of us are, okay? So that's not going to be very helpful, okay? But you want to teach your kids to be truthful, and there should be consequences if they lie, so that you at least start them on the pattern of being honest and truth-telling. What's the penalty if you were, what is it called when you lie in court? Perjury. And just so you know, now, everyone is lying in court because no one ever gets consequences of perjury. You don't believe me? Just watch Judge Judy and Judge, all these judge shows, and you'll see there's people lying all the time, and nothing ever happens. In fact, in most court trials, you just say to yourself, every witness lies. We better just go with the evidence because everyone lies. Well, back in the Old Testament, what was the penalty if you were in court and you lied? I think we should bring this back. The penalty was, if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against his brother, then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and then they won't do it. So if you lie, hey, yeah, He needs to go to jail for 20 years because he stole that car. And they find out you lied in testimony. You're going to jail for 20 years instead. And get enough of that out there, and the fear will go out, and people will tell the truth for a change in court. Well, I got to close with this. Watch out for God's drone. So what's a drone? If I asked you, like, if I had no idea, what would you tell me? What is a drone? It's a flying device. Is that? And I would call it, to me, an unmanned flying device. Now, you may think that that drones were just created in the last 10 years. But actually, God created the first drone that we're going to look at in a second. I do want to tell you that the government is using drones now for military application, which doesn't surprise me when I think about it. They're actually now, if they're in some country and they've got some bad guys in some building a mile away, they actually will fly 100 little drones that have little guns or explosives. They'll fly 100 little drones to where the bad guys are in the building, and the drones look for an open window, a door. They call them swarms. And then they go in and shoot the people. And if you're in there, and here's all these hundreds of drones coming into your home. And the government is trying to perfect mini drones that will be able to go and kill you. And so they'll be able to send out thousands like bees, thousands of swarms. I'm like, we are getting technologically probably too far. I mean, it's kind of scary. Zechariah chapter 5. The book of Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Second to the last book in the Old Testament. So you got Malachi is the last book, then Zechariah. It's right before the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Zechariah chapter 5. God's got a drone. And this is kind of like a military drone. It's kind of scary. Zechariah chapter 5. Let's look at the drone that God sends out. Zechariah chapter 5. So we went over two commandments. What were the two commandments that we went over this morning? Do not steal and do not bear false witness. Okay. So Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1. I looked again, and there before me was a what? Flying scroll. See, that's a drone. It's an unmanned flying machine. Okay? It's a flying scroll. He asked me, what do you see? The Lord asked Zechariah. And Zechariah answers, I see a flying scroll. It's 30 feet long and 15 feet wide, which is the dimensions of the holy place of the temple, meaning this came right from God's presence, this flying scroll. God sent it out. Verse 3, and he said to me, this is the curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely, that's the eighth and ninth commandment, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. Wow. So the Lord sends out this flying scroll, and it lands in every house of every thief and every house of every liar. And often they go together. When you steal, you often lie. And when you lie, you steal. And this drone goes into every house and destroys your home. So I want to close with a story. John Smith was a carpenter. And John Smith, he worked many years for his boss, the contractor. And one day the contractor comes to John Smith and says, John, you worked with me so long, I'm going to entrust you to build the next house. I'm not going to check up on you. In fact, here's $400,000. I want you to build the most magnificent house with this $400,000 that we can sell. And call me when you're all done. John Smith was like, ooh, my boss is trusting me with $400,000. You know, he'll never know if I cut corners when I build this house so I can pocket some money for myself. So when he was pouring the floor, he didn't put rebar in the floor, the concrete floor, and he poured the concrete thinner than it should be, knowing that probably 10 years from now, the whole floor will crack apart and the house will, but no one will know for 10 years, and by then he'll be long gone. And so he saved some money and put it in his pocket. Then he built the walls, and he didn't pour them solid and save money. He bought third-grade lumber that he knows from experience will twist and warp in the future, and the whole house will warp apart, but you won't catch it for a while, 5 years. He put insulation that he got a cheap price on because there's a smell that comes off that insulation that they think is carcinogenic and causes cancer. He bought faulty wiring, plumbing. He cheaped out on the shingles. They're going to break up. I mean, He paints it all up. On the outside, the house looked wonderful. But he cut corners left and right. You with me? So the boss comes back, the contractor, and says, wow, look at this beautiful house you built. This is great. And John Smith is smiling. Thank you, boss. And the boss goes, John, you've been such a good employee. Our company is giving you this house for you and your family to live in for the rest of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. You are each building your own life. And you can build it on lies and stealing, or you can build it on truthfulness and giving and serving. And eventually you will reap what you sow. You eventually will either build a nice, solid spiritual life, or you'll build a life that will crumble and be destroyed. So, Father, Lord, help us as believers to be honest, to be truthful, and to not steal, but in fact to give. Whether we're employees, to give more than we get paid for, or whether we're employers and by grace we share profit with our employees who help us to make us successful. But Lord, help us to be giving people and honest and truthful people. In your name we pray. Amen.